Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Talking right now about Chicago politics. It never gets more interesting than that. Democrat or Republican, we can all agree that Chicago politics certainly is interesting. And joining us from the Daily Line is Heather Sharoon. Heather, how are you doing today? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Thanks for having me, John.
Oh, absolutely. Before we dive into the big stories this year and what's coming up next year, tell us a little bit about the Daily Line.
So we cover city, county, and state politics, and we send out a newsletter bright and early every morning, which will tell you everything you need to know to be in the know on politics and policy throughout Illinois.
And the website is thedailyline.net, so go there for all sorts of things. And right off the top, the story I see at the top right now, 2018 Cook County Year in Review. That's a good way place to start. That's what we were going to talk about in general here. And boy, what a year for politics here in Chicago, as always.
Absolutely. And the county saw a lot of change, with probably more to come. Of course, Toni Preckwinkle is running for Chicago mayor, even though she was just reelected as Cook County Board President. And there are two fewer Republicans on the Cook County Board. They were swept out of office on the blue wave that also brought J.B. Pritzker to power as governor-elect. He'll replace Governor Bruce Rauner in just a few weeks now.
You teased the mayoral race, and that's really what I want to start with because, boy, that was, I mean, talk about surprises in politics in Chicago. That was a whopper when the mayor announced he wasn't running again.
It was just a 8.0 earthquake on the Richter scale. And, you know, nobody really had any inkling that he was really seriously reconsidering plans for a third term. He had raised almost $8 million by that point for his reelection and seemed to be laying the groundwork to run for a third term, arguing that he had done what he promised to do when he was elected first in 2011 and then reelected in 2016, that, you know, the city's finances were in much better shape, and that, you know, the police department was on the path to reform after the death and a scandal of Laquan McDonald's death. And then he dropped out, and then we now have, I think, somewhere close to 20 official candidates on the ballot 60 days from today.
That's crazy. And I can't believe it's only just 2 months away. It'll fly by. Back to that decision for a second, because it did catch a lot of people off guard. Of course, he said he wanted to spend time with family. I imagine, which could, of course, be partly true, but the timing of the announcement was I don't want to say suspicious, but there was certainly another big announcement coming out of the coming days after that that might have played a role in it.
That's right. So Mayor Rahm Emanuel announced that he wouldn't run for a third term the Tuesday after Labor Day, which was just a few days before the verdict in the Jason Van Dyke murder trial. He, of course, was convicted of second-degree murder for killing Laquan McDonald while on duty. And most people at City Hall, you know, say the two events are inextricably linked, because had Jason Van Dyke been acquitted and had the city erupted in protests or riots, Mayor Emanuel would have faced an even more difficult time getting reelected. And the sense was that he needed to make a decision before that verdict, so it didn't look like he was being forced out of office rather than leaving sort of on his own terms.
Do you think the 2015 election, coupled with the Laquan McDonald situation, equals what we have here? What I mean is a somewhat surprise runoff result in 2015 with Chuy Garcia.
That's right. It's, you know, sort of hard to think back to that back now. But, you know, nobody really expected Chuy Garcia to give Mayor Emanuel such a run for his money and force the first runoff in Chicago political history. And he did that by not only having the Chicago Teachers Union behind him, but also sort of sweeping up the burgeoning start of the progressive movement, which, you know, is sort of in full flower now. So he came very close, and Mayor Emanuel was reelected, I think, on the strength of his performance on the South Side, where he won a fair number of votes from African Americans. And let's not forget, he had the endorsement of former President Barack Obama, who, you know, was and remains very popular. I think the question was, would he have been able to replicate that performance in the wake of the Donald scandal? And I think that would have been a far stretch.
What do you think the legacy of Mayor Emanuel is as he's preparing to leave office here in the next few months?
Well, you know, he would say, hey, I've got 4 months left in office. I have not left office yet, and I've got plenty on my plate. But I mentioned that the city was in really bad financial shape when he took office in 2011. The structural deficit was more than, it was nearly $700 million. He has significantly, his policies have and the improving economy has reduced that structural deficit to somewhere close to $80 million. So that's a big change. He will argue that the police department has grown in the last couple of years by almost 1,000 officers, and I think that has to be part of his legacy. But again, I think that along with being former chief of staff to Barack Obama and sort of serving President Clinton in the White House, in the first couple of paragraphs of his obituary is going to be the Laquan McDonald scandal, which I think really changed policing not only in Chicago but sort of throughout the country, and that will I think be up there and how he handled that scandal.
One thing I think about Mayor Emanuel's legacy, and we chatted about this on air a couple weeks ago, was the idea that Mayor Emanuel would fly to Japan, would fly to China, he would be an advocate for the city of Chicago in a worldly way that other mayors in the United States, including like New York, Houston, I mean, big cities, they don't have that global reach of a mayor actually shaking hands with investors and business owners across the globe to either bring business or to bring jobs to the city. Now, I think in many ways that's a positive for the city, but there's also some people that say that he should be focusing more on what's happening in Chatham instead of China, which I just realized now is a great political saying, but
trademark that.
Right,
trademark that.
Exactly. So I think that's kind of a mixed bag, his global impact, right?
Yeah. No, it absolutely is. He was very proud of the fact that he brought, huge multinational corporations to move their headquarters to Chicago. He sometimes served as the city's booster in chief, and that meant that whenever he went on cable news or was quoted in the New York Times, it helped raise Chicago's profile. And he certainly did that as he brought sort of new life not only to the Loop but the West Loop, which has just really been transformed in his tenure. So I think the question a lot of people are going to be asking, as they asked after former Mayor Richard M. Daley left office, is who can fill the mayor's shoes? And Mayor Emanuel's argument in 2011 and then again in 2015 was, I am a superstar. I'm a political superstar. I can get, the president on the phone. I can get money flowing to Chicago. I can go to Springfield and I can advocate for what the city needs. Now, certainly that record is a mixed bag. And now is non-existence, of course, in the Trump administration.
Right.
But we're not necessarily going to have whoever is elected mayor next is not necessarily going to have anywhere close to as the political profile that Rahm Emanuel did. And let's not forget, Rahm Emanuel is still a young guy. He's got a whole, third or fourth act in front of him. So I would expect that he will be a frequent presence on the op-ed pages, a frequent presence on CNN or MSNBC. And he's got a book coming out about, sort of how important it is for mayors of big cities in the Trump era to sort of push progressive changes forward. So, he may not be mayor of Chicago this time next year, but he will still be very much part of the discussion, sort of pushing sort of what he's is the right thing for Chicago.
Speaking of who will be mayor next year, Heather, do you mind staying on the line? We're going to take a quick commercial break and chat more about the 2019 election of the Chicago mayor. We'll break down some of the candidates, the front runners, maybe some spoilers. That'll be after this here on 720 WGN. 60 days till the mayoral election. Can't believe it's already coming up that quick. Here to break it all down is Heather Cerrone of the Daily Net. And Heather, I think the common wisdom is that there's two leading candidates, but and we can talk about who they are, and I think that there's a lot of truth to that. But Heather, I mean, this is going to be about consolidating blocks, because when you talk about how many candidates there are, you know what, 12, 13, 14%, that might be enough to get you to the runoff.
It absolutely could be, which is crazy. I think if you held down, you know, and twisted the ear of most political reporters, most people think Tony Preckwinkle, the Cook County Board President and head of the Cook County Democratic Party, and Susana Mendoza, the Illinois Comptroller, are probably the front runners at this point, but it's such a wide open field, and it's really hard to say, you know, who is going to sort of emerge after, once all of the ballot challenges are finished, you know, who's actually going to be on the ballot, and what issues are sort of going to drive the debate and the tenor of the campaign.
Well, you mentioned the tenor of the campaign. If it does end up with Mendoza versus Preckwinkle in a runoff, we kind of got a hint of what that might look like in the determination of the signatures. Already we've seen some sourness.
Absolutely. You know, Tony Preckwinkle challenged Susana Mendoza's signature, saying she didn't have enough. Eventually, Tony Preckwinkle withdrew that challenge, saying, okay, Susana Mendoza did get at least 12,500 signatures. Tony Preckwinkle also challenged the signatures of Lori Lightfoot, the former Chicago Police Board president. Lori Lightfoot is on the ballot. Tony Preckwinkle had to withdraw her challenge against her as well. We're still waiting to see whether Cook County Circuit Court Clerk Dorothy Brown will make the ballot. We should know that maybe this week or early next week. So it's still a little bit in flux, but we do know that there will be a Daley on the ballot again, Bill Daley. And, you know, also along with him, Paul Vallis, the former CPS school CEO, and, of course, Gary McCarthy,
right.
We were talking about Laquan McDonald before the break, and he was police superintendent at the time of Laquan McDonald's murder.
Yeah, and it wasn't so long ago that Gary McCarthy was on the top of a lot of people's list for making the runoff. Not that he couldn't still be. Again, you mentioned consolidating power between police officers, perhaps firefighters as well, in the northwest and southwest parts of the city. Why do you think he's kind of fallen down the quote-unquote power rankings?
Well, you know, I think Gary McCarthy has a couple of challenges that he's going to have to overcome. One, I'm a native Chicagoan, and I will fully admit that I cannot imagine the mayor of Chicago with a New York accent. And Gary McCarthy, for better or for worse, is a very strong New York accent. I know that my in-laws react almost viscerally when they hear that accent.
Really?
But also, yes, yes. But also, you know, he is very, he's sort of still, you know, dealing with the fallout of the Laquan McDonald scandal. He's basically accused Rahm Emanuel of covering it up. You know, he was fired, and he's really going to have to sort of expand his base from, you know, sort of very pro-police, pro-sort of Republican. And let's not forget, he attended a fundraiser for Bruce Rauner during the governor's race. So he's going to have to sort of expand that. But like you said, you know, would that even limited base be enough to get him into a runoff with all of the other sort of, you know, parts of the electorate fracturing? It just might, and I don't know the answer to that question.
All right, so, and you, of course, you're a diligent reporter. You would never take a side. And just a reminder, of course, we're speaking about possibilities, of course. But when we talk about a horse in the race that maybe getting some coverage here, but is, I guess, an underdog. Do you have an underdog that you think could possibly emerge through this thing and make it to a runoff that might surprise some people?
I don't think you can count out Amara Anaya, who, of course, is supported by Chance the Rapper and Kanye West. And she has the possibility of sort of catching a newly energized, progressive, young electorate's attention. Whether or not she's going to have the money to sort of get her message out there, I think is probably the biggest question I have about her campaign. But she is really interesting to watch speak, and I think she's really well positioned to sort of capture the people who maybe voted in November and are feeling newly energized about politics and consider themselves progressives, and maybe not even really consider themselves Democrats, but want to have a say in how the city is run, and they want the city to be run very differently than how it was run under Rahm Emanuel. And so she sort of could sort of consolidate that push. However, she's going to have to sort of go through Tony Preckwinkle, who is walking a very fine line between being a very well-established politician with a long history dating back to the Harold Washington era of city council politics, but is also sort of positioning herself as the progressive in the race. And let's not forget that she has the Chicago Teachers Union backing, and it was the Teachers Union that really pushed Chuy Garcia into that runoff against Rahm Emanuel 4 years ago.
All right, so a lot of people are listening right now. They're like, I don't live in Chicago proper. I live in the burbs. I live downstate. I want to hear about that. You guys cover Springfield politics too, and let's talk about it, because obviously we're going to have a new governor sworn in soon, and with that, a super majority in the Senate and the House. The Democrats picked up seats in both houses, right?
That's right. So not only did they maintain their supermajority in the Senate, they extended that supermajority, and they regained the supermajority in the House under House Speaker Michael Madigan. So J.B. Pritzker, when he takes office, he will have a General Assembly all colored blue and ready to sort of, you know, work on policies and programs that have been stymied during the 4 years of the Roner administration.
Let's look at our crystal balls, Heather Sherrod. On all the way to the end of December 19, will marijuana be legal by the end of the year?
I think there's a really good chance that it will be. J.B. Pritzker has said that he favors it. There's been a bill working its way through the General Assembly with many hearings and sort of, you know, studies and that sort of thing that was proposed almost 2 years ago. So the groundwork has been laid. However, you're still going to have to face a couple of obstacles. One of them, of course, is the notion that there are people in jail right now convicted of crimes related to marijuana, and I would imagine that there'll be some push to address those issues. Also, you're going to find, conservative lawmakers, both Democrat and Republican, worried about whether or not it will unleash sort of public safety concerns. Like, are we going to see drugged driving? Is there going to be an uptick in sort of crime? How is all that going to be handled? So if I were a betting woman, I'd probably put money on it being legal, but I'm not, so I'm safe either way.
Progressive tax or the elevated tax, gradual tax, whatever you want to call it, was proposed by J.B. Pritzker. That's a little more complicated, right?
It is. So not only do you have to get you have to essentially amend the Constitution. So you've got to get it through the legislature, and then you've got to get it through a referendum of voters. So that couldn't take place until 2020 at the earliest. So the question becomes, how does the state pay its bills in the interim?
Yeah.
And that's a really big question. And does the economy sort of continue to grow as it has, or are we sort of heading into a downturn, and does that make lawmakers more reluctant to raise taxes at a time when people may be starting to struggle a little bit more? It's really hard to tell.
So the referendum, could they, I mean, there's obviously still, while there won't be a gubernatorial race in 2019, there still is an election of some, would that be where it would maybe go on? Would it be November 2019? Are there other, or can they call like a special? Well, how does that work? Do you know?
So it has to be the next statewide election.
Oh.
So it's not something that could happen overnight by any stretch of the imagination.
All right, that's interesting, because I think that that's something that people think that the governor can do with the flip of a switch. I know some people might be very relieved to hear what you're saying now. Others maybe not so much. We got about 1 minute left, Heather. What's one thing you are watching in 2019 that maybe all of us, maybe not that we're not paying attention, but we should pay a little bit more attention to?
Well, you know, I will be judging the last 4 months of Rahm Emanuel's tenure about whether he's able to convince the city council to borrow $10 billion to start paying down the huge pension debt that the city will face in the coming years. I think that could, you know, he certainly sees that as one of his main priorities before he leaves office. And whether the city council chooses to do that, I think could really set the tone for how the next mayor deals with the pension crisis, which will be at the top of his or her agenda the day after they are elected.
And we can keep track of all that where, Heather?
The dailyline.net.
Heather, have a great rest of your holiday, okay? Thank you for the time.
You too. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. Heather Sharon of the dailyline.net. Be sure to check it out. And again, they have a morning email that keeps you abreast of all things going on in Chicago and state politics.